The second reading today comes from the book of James, the only piece of wisdom literature in the New Testament. Martin Luther called it nothing more than a piece of straw and was hoping to excise it from the Bible. So with that introduction, listen now to these words from James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Please pray with me. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Not many of you should become teachers, James says on the day that all of our volunteer Sunday school teachers go back to work. It's too late, teachers. You are committed. We who teach will be judged with greater strictness, James says, which is surprising to hear in our culture. I mean, we treat teaching like it's no big deal. We pay starting teachers on average $13,000 less than computer programmers, $14,000 less than accountants, $15,000 less than registered nurses, and the gap only grows with more experience. Our culture values teaching a lot less than James values it. The church, it seems, is a little odd in that regard. Several years ago, the Presbyterian Church changed the official title of pastors like me from ministers of word and sacrament back to the earlier language of teaching elders, emphasizing the teaching office of the church. To people outside of the church, teaching elder sounded like a demotion, but not to Presbyterians. Presbyterians have been educators for the entirety of our theological existence. John Calvin, our 16th century ancestor, most responsible for defining our branch of the Christian faith, set up the first public school system anywhere in the world in Geneva, Switzerland. To know Christ, he reasoned, you don't need a priest or anyone else telling you what to believe. You need to know words of Scripture which point to Christ And to know scripture, you need to know how to read. Speech matters. From the 95 theses that Martin Luther nailed to a church door, igniting the Reformation, to the 140 characters that people post on Twitter today. Our speech can move people to soaring heights, unleash movements for global change, and transform millions of lives in the process. And speech can also incite violence, fan prejudice and hate, and wound people so deeply that they choose to exit this world rather than face a bullying kind of shame. Speech can be used for good and evil, James warns, and church folk know this as well as anybody. How many of us have been wounded by a word from the pulpit, or alternatively, transformed by it? How many of us have been hurt by words leveled in the midst of a family fight, or felt carried through a storm by the comforting words of, "I'm here for you"? How many of us have said things that we regretted or regretted not saying words we know we should have spoken? Speech matters, which is why I think the teaching that James is warning us about is not limited to those with teaching certificates or those who stand in the front of the classroom. James has in mind anyone who uses speech to influence others, which applies to most of us to varying degrees. The parent teaching his child by example, the politician teaching the public by what she says, the clerk and the customer interacting with each other in the marketplace. Speech matters. Which is why James sends up such a strong warning. We who teach will be judged with greater strictness. You don't have to look far to see why James is so concerned. Read some of the anonymous comments on Baltimore news websites. The city is done, one person wrote. The more blacks they allow to lead, the worse it will get. So much for our post-racist society. Meanwhile, Donald Trump chastised General Colin Powell for supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. "He's wrong," Trump said. "He's totally wrong. It should be all lives matter." Trump, like so many white people in our time, refuses to recognize that saying Black Lives Matter is not the same thing as saying only Black Lives Matter. It is a concise way of acknowledging the historic and ongoing devaluing of Black lives against the moral creeds of our nation. It is a concise way of acknowledging that all lives haven't mattered and still don't matter the way that they should. Trump made his comment on the same day that the New York Police Department released a video of the mistaken arrest of biracial tennis star James Blake, who was misidentified as a suspect in a fraudulent credit card ring and body slammed to the ground while standing outside of a New York hotel. I am a big believer in rhetoric when that rhetoric is faithful to God's word. It has the power to lift people up out of the valleys that we all encounter in our lives. It has the power to state truths publicly in times and spaces where truth is hard to state. It has the power to inspire us all to imagine a world before that world exists and then rally our blood, sweat, and tears to birth that world into being. I'm a big believer in the power of speech when it is faithful to God's vision. Presbyterians have been historically strong in this particular endeavor. Some of the earliest protesters of slavery in America were not the founding fathers of our nation, but teachers of the gospel. Can it be believed that a people contending for liberty should at the same time be promoting and supporting slavery? Said Presbyterian minister Jacob Green in 1789. What foreign nation can believe that we who so loudly complain of Britain's attempts to oppress and enslave us are at the same time voluntarily holding multitudes of fellow creatures in abject slavery, and that while we are abundantly declaring that, we esteem liberty the greatest of all earthly blessings? Speech is power. The power of words is the power to create new worlds of possibilities. It is the power to rally fellow human beings to the cause of justice. It is the power to call account, to account those who participate in injustice, which is why James spends so much time warning the church to choose carefully words that we speak. Choose carefully the words that we use when describing brothers and sisters of cultures or races or nations different from our own. Choose carefully the words that we use when we summon like-minded people to a cause for which we deeply believe. Choose carefully the words that we use when we speak about others not immediately in our presence. Choose carefully the words that we put in that text or that message about a classmate or rival. Choose carefully the words that we use. Because James knows that, at least for Christians, words have the power to change things. They lead people somewhere else. That's their intent. Do not merely listen to the word, James says toward the beginning of this book. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. For James, speech is always intended to change us or change our world, to shape it and open up new possibilities and then draw us into those new possibilities. And maybe in these fearful times, fear between races, fear between nations, fear between civilians and police, maybe the best gift that the church can give our culture is reclaiming the sacred gift of speech. That power that we are invited to use to bless our God, to bless those who are made in the image and likeness of God, to bless our neighbor. Maybe the best gift the church can give the culture is refusing to give in the words of Walter Brueggemann, to gossip, to false advertising, to propaganda and ideology, all forces that serve to misdescribe reality, leaving us, Brueggemann says, with promises that cannot be kept, desires that cannot be satisfied, and fears that cannot be assuaged, with a diminished politics that, in his words, serve predatory interests. Maybe the gift that we can give our city is refusing to allow our speech to be cheapened, stripped of its relational truth that leads to community and justice and healing that is consistent with God's hopes. Maybe that gift that we can give our church is learning our speech from Scripture and from each other instead of the diminished speech of our current political campaigns. To use our speech to heal and to hope instead of to hurt or to hate. I know that is not easy to do. 2 weeks ago, residents from all 9 police districts who are leaders in BUILD sat down with commanders of all 9 police districts, along with the commissioner and other top brass. Going into this meeting, 95% of the residents that we had listened to in the last several weeks had stated unequivocally that they were more afraid of the police in their neighborhood than they were of the criminal element. This at a time when the murder rate was larger than it has been in decades. One young man had put it this way: "I know how to stay away from people causing trouble on the street. But you have to understand," he said, "the police can put something on me and ruin my life forever." How in the world could a meeting ever make a dent in that enormous mountain of mistrust? We opened the meeting with one-on-one conversations between each resident and the commander of the district where that resident lives. Each resident asked each commander, "What has it been like for you to be a police officer in Baltimore these last several months?" And each officer asked each resident, "What has it been like for you to be a resident in the neighborhood these last several months?" You know, by the end of that two-hour meeting, I marveled not because we got to talking about real ways to address this national problem of police community distrust, or not because we got to talking about devising strategies to attack the deep connection between the war on drugs and the poverty and racism in our nation. I marveled that we were having this discussion face to face, person to person, police officer to resident, resident to police officer. Careful speech, honest speech had opened up a new world of possibility for everyone. Admittedly, it was a tiny, tiny step, but you know, small steps are always at the beginning of giant leaps of change. Or should I say, careful speech, honest speech, which seems so small and insignificant, always, always precedes God's new creation. Speech matters. As the church year starts, how will you use yours? Will you use it to bless your neighbors or distance yourself from them? Will you use it to speak a word of forgiveness in that broken relationship, or use it to lob another grenade? Will you use it to share with a trusted friend what's really going on deep in your heart and soul, or use it to isolate yourself even more with our culture's rote liturgies of "I'm fine"? Will you use it to speak new worlds of possibility into being, or just to add to our mutual destruction? Speech matters. How will you use yours?